Eddie Harris with his own composition, Sham Time, from his 1968 album, The Electrifying Eddie Harris. Harris is credited with electrifying his own musical instrument, the tenor sax, and ushered in new dimensions of sound and of musical instruments. Very talented man who died of congestive heart failure on November the 5th, 1996, at the age of 62. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and let's answer the big question first. Who won the debate last night? Let's see if you get that answer. 888-874-4888. Who won the debate? Who would you say won the debate? We'll do a fast round before we get into deeper analysis of the so-called debate. But who won? 888-874-4888. I want to see how long it would take for us to get the answer to this question. Who won the debate last night? As you know, there's another debate coming tonight. And God help us, they may have a repeat of what happened last night. But who won the debate? Any ideas? All right, I'll wait a couple more seconds to be fair, to give you the opportunity to tell us all the correct answer to that question. Who won the Democratic Party debate last night? With 20 candidates, 10 of whom participated in this debate last night, the other 10 supposedly coming on tonight to enthrall us, to wow us with their political insights. Well, we have no call. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to answer the question. The winner of the Democratic Party debate last night was Donald Trump. Yeah, I know. You wouldn't think that, considering he's a Republican and he's the incumbent and he's the person they're all supposed to be fighting. But from what I saw, nobody got close to taking on Donald Trump. And the questioners, these five august people from the NBC plantation, didn't ask any questions that even suggested that there might be a problem with the policies of Donald Trump, which they themselves have discussed. So the winner was Donald Trump. No question about it. Hello, Patricia. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family.
Thank you. Good afternoon to you.
The operative word there is debate. And I was literally, my granddaughter was visiting with me in New York, and I was literally in transit, taking her home to Texas, which is where I am now. And so I was watching the debate on the plane. And it dawned on me, first of all, with 10 candidates, you cannot have a debate. So there was no debate. A debate is an exchange of ideas based on a question that has been posed.
Exactly.
And so there was no opportunity for any substantive discussion about any of the questions that were posed last night, not one. And what really gnawed my gut was when folks started conversing in Spanish, and it was clear to me, and I hope it's clear to Black folks, that they are not on the agenda. Not one person talked about anything that had anything to do with me, the people that I love, the people that I'm concerned, the people about my community. So the operative word there was no debate. And so as a result, your conclusion is absolutely correct. Donald Trump won because there was nothing to differentiate the people who were on the stage last night. How are their views different, and how would they challenge Donald Trump?
Well, I watched it, and it was a very painful exercise because I was spitting fire, saying this is the best that they could do, and call it a debate. I felt a need to advise them that whenever they're ready, they could go to any part of the Caribbean and learn what a debate is about. Nobody would put up with that nonsense and call it a debate. They'd be laughed out of town. That is not a debate. That's a Q&A session. A dog and pony show. And you have all of these, all of this firepower right there in front of you, and you're not asking a single question that even vaguely suggests that all the people there are opposed to Donald Trump and his policies and his administration, and they have a bone or several bones to pick with him on that. I was wondering, why are you calling this a debate? Why are you insulting the intelligence of the public to call this a debate? They're not fighting anything.
You are absolutely correct. And there was not one opportunity for anybody to even challenge each other on their ideas. Not one person was able to put forth a policy about anything.
About anything. What does that suggest to you, though?
Well, first of all, this country is in deep trouble. Second of all, Donald Trump is really on the verge of being reelected, and we're going to have to stomach him for another 4 years. The populace does not understand how to evaluate candidates, what makes a good candidate, and what makes a candidate viable enough to unseat Donald Trump, because that is my goal at this particular point. The man is so crazy. The whole issue with Iran terrified me 2 weeks ago, literally terrified me. And in spite of the fact that I detest, absolutely detest the thought of Joe Biden being the nominee, I would probably have to, with stench in my craw, pull the lever for him, because Donald Trump is going to get us into a war that we cannot win.
So what does it say about the party at this particular juncture? Here we have, we're right upon the changing of the guard, at least technically so. And how do you rate the party's response? This is part of its official response.
The Democrats literally have no response to Donald Trump. And you would think at this juncture that they would. They have none. Nothing substantive that anybody can latch onto and say, oh, this makes sense. Okay, I'll go with this. They don't, you know, it's as if they've been in a vacuum and they haven't learned how to fight. It's like they've been in a vacuum. They don't know what to do.
Maybe they're told. Maybe they were groomed and adhered to the admonition that they're not to fight.
Maybe.
Because it seems as if that the party has already decided who its nominee should be. It wasn't anybody there last night. And why would they allow the thunder, you know, to be used prematurely? The thunder is supposed to come tonight because their candidate of choice is going to appear tonight. So everybody obeyed the rules. These journalists, if you want to call them that, they were pitiful. And the candidates appearing before them were equally pitiful. And I couldn't imagine why this farce has not really occurred to all these people watching that they we were conned. Those who were watching this debacle, this was a con job. But absolutely, we agree. Donald Trump won last night. No doubt about it.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with you.
Okay, thanks for calling in. 888-874-4888. You see, this is how we are supposed to analyze things, so that all this other frou-frou that's going on, which is all distraction, gets you to focus on things that have no importance or little importance. We're here discussing, well, who was the best candidate last night? The whole thing was a sham. Thank you, Eddie Harris, for this tune called Sham Time. It is a sham. In the middle of all the serious things that we are supposed to be dealing with, we have a production, a theatrical production, to give you and me the sense that something is happening that is part of what we consider to be the democratic process. It's a sham. E from Edgewater, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. I didn't get to watch the debate, but I did. I have seen two of the candidates, Kelsey Gabbard is her name, and Andrew Yang, were both on Joe Rogan podcast. That's for 3 hours they talk. So I got to learn a little about those two candidates. I didn't want to waste my time with the debates, but I think tonight's might be a little more because they want the Biden guy and
yep.
Bernie Sanders to be the highlight of the Democratic Party, I think.
Absolutely. So, you're correct. This is purely choreographed. The party insulted. It insulted voters. And it insulted, I would say, its own history. This is not what the Democratic Party should be doing. Engineering an outcome and presenting it to the public as if, well, everything is above board and let the chips fall where they may. They know where the chips are going to fall. They know where they want the chips to fall. And they've orchestrated an elaborate production to give us the impression that, hey, this is the excitement of an election. Ridiculous. And they ought to be ashamed of themselves. And for this alone, we should just leave the party. The party is not supposed to be doing this kind of stuff, this rotten stuff of carefully choreographing what should be a very spontaneous production. You know, we have people, we have 10 of them who authorized a so-called debate with 10 people who presumably would be asking each other questions and reacting to the responses that they're getting, which is the whole point of a debate. A debate is a two-way street. Instead, you have these talking heads who they put as moderators. They are asking the questions, and you know the questions have been vetted and approved. You know somebody said, yeah, that's okay. Make sure you ask him this. Make sure you ask him that. These journalists weren't journalists. They were talking mouthpieces. And it was so offensive to me. You know, we might as well just let them know we're not falling for it. This is garbage. And you can have it. And you know, the reason they did that, that this is where NBC and its affiliates would make a lot of money. Because political ads bring in a hefty percentage of advertising revenue. They locked it up. All of the moderators were NBC types, and nobody else was able to get in to present a different voice. The questions were clearly rehearsed, and they were given permission to ask these questions. It's a sham, a total sham, and everybody participating in it ought to be ashamed of themselves, because we certainly are ashamed of you. So what is your attitude now, having watched this performance?
All right. My attitude is I'm a little worried about the prediction that I made a couple of months ago about Biden. And, you know, do you recall I said Biden will win the Democratic nomination, and then Bernie will go independent, and then they'll cancel each other out and Trump will win. I say this not because I'm trying to show how great a predictor I am. I'm trying to expose something, a scenario that people would believe how Donald Trump could win a second term. And that would be the scenario. But I'm a little worried because before I said about this, I said that before Joe Biden even threw his hat in the ring. And then a few weeks later, he did. But I'm a little worried that, to me, I don't know about anybody else, but to me, Joe Biden looks like he's on his way to dementia, or he has dementia, and he's on his way to full-fledged Alzheimer's. And we still have a year and a half before the actual election. So he might not even be able to last. So that's that's one thing that I want. If people watch tonight, see if anybody else recognizes that this, to me, he looks like he has dementia. Anyway.
Well, if I get it from you, the thing is, you don't want to be right, but you can't help but make these observations. You don't want this to happen, but you see it happening.
Well, I don't want to be right, but, you know, we're victims of circumstance here of what's going on in this country and the whole world. And, you know, unfortunately, we're prisoners of this system of corruption that, you know, all it cares about is making money, 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 and having power, power, power. So even the last election, there was nobody for black people to vote for in the last election. After they gave them Obama for 8 years, now it's over. Now there was nobody for black people to vote for in 2016, and now there's going to be nobody to vote for in 2020 for black people. So if the Green Party was smart and they had any sense, they should get two viable black people to run as vice president and president in their party, and then the Green Party, if black people would come out like they supported Obama and come out and support the Green Party with these two black candidates, then the Green Party could get the percentage that they would need to become a viable party and be allowed to be in the debates and get the government supplement money. That
but
would
if
be
they
the
were
smart
to do
thing for
that,
the Green Party
they would be
to do,
doing
but
it under false pretenses, because the Green Party is not investing in attracting people of color. They're not working hard enough. They just think, well, we're here, you should come to us. No, you could take a long walk off a short bridge with that.
Yeah, but they have change. I'm saying that they've been a party since the late 1980s. They haven't gotten better
than 3.5%. Yeah, but if you're not doing
percent,
the work, I don't care if you were a party since the 1600s. Here's the problem.
Ralph Nader was the only viable candidate. I'm sorry.
Everybody has a different excuse as to why they can't do what they typically would do to gain the attention and the support of the white community. If you have a problem, if the Green Party has a problem going into communities of color, talking about issues that are relevant for them, relevant to them, then they could go take a walk. We have to stop this business of fitting into everybody's plan. And last night, you saw the result. The result was, with all of that firepower, Donald Trump won, and he didn't appear on the stage once. He won.
Right.
No question about it. Thanks a lot, Eve, for your call today. Chris from West Palm Beach, you're on the air.
Patrice, good afternoon. How you doing?
Okay, Chris, how are you? And good afternoon to you, too.
Yeah, I told you the showcase was nothing. you know, it just seems there's a lack of imagination on purpose just to keep people not thinking of what could be. You know, I didn't hear anything last night worth even repeating. Maybe Tulsi on foreign policy, but other than that, you know, nobody said or did anything one way or the other. So I'm not surprised. Then tonight will be more of the same.
It will be more of the same, except that the Democratic Party will be showcasing its preferred candidate tonight. It's not saying that, of course, Biden will get its support, but we all know that.
Yes, we do.
We all know that.
You know, at this point, I can't even be mad at the Democratic Party as an institution, as a private institution. They're doing what they need to do to ensure their survival. On some level, I can understand that. At some point, the people have to just totally outright reject it. Don't watch these things. Don't support them. Because I see a lot of people wanting to badly reform the party. There's no reforming it. The party likes how it is.
Well, I know I happen to agree with that. The party has crossed the line so many times. But this time, it's ridiculous that it could not even expect to be forgiven under the idea that, as you just said, they're fighting for survival. Well, you know, when you're fighting for survival, the one thing you want to always keep in mind is your safety, your safety spots.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't mess around with your safety spots.
No, you don't. Not at all.
So, I mean, how could you stage this whole thing with all the lights and all the, you know, gizmos going, and you have these tamed so-called journalists asking so-called heavy questions, which were vetted clearly beforehand and approved beforehand? I was so disgusted with these journalists. I'm saying, how dare you present yourself as a journalist? NBC pulled off this ratchet deal here by telling the people watching, this is an example of the heavyweight journalism that we do every day. That was garbage. And
total trash.
You're trying to pull a fast one on people. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I couldn't agree more. It's 100% trash, which is why I have to start faulting our fellow citizens for being in two camps, either ignorant or willfully ignorant.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one thing if you don't know, you know, so you're ignorant. It's another when you know and then you continue to ignore all of the data points that show you that these people, that as a party, are not interested in bringing about any sort of beneficial change to the average person. You know? So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, we're looking at 4 more years of Trump. At that point, maybe people will, at that point, do something about it, but they're just looking to be comfortable. They want Obama to come back, or some, another Obama-type character to come talk nice, look nice on TV with a nice family, and, you know, everything will be fine.
Yeah, but Obama can't come back. Obama has a lot of troubles that he's trying to stay so low and under the radar.
He needs to. Him and Michelle need to both just bow out and sit down quietly, because she disgusts me as much as him. You know, you're all buddy-buddy because it's God passed you a piece of candy. Like, how many deaths are they responsible for? And it's, oh, he's my best friend. Like, I don't have time for that.
But this is what politics has come to. And we're talking about it critically, but what we should be doing, and remember I said our mandate should be to mind our own business and leave these entities that are still practicing a kind of political voodoo. They're trying to get our brains in sync with theirs. And it means, and the funny part is they don't have brains. If they had brains, they wouldn't do these kinds of crazy and stupid things.
Correct.
So we have to find another way, and we have to find it fast, because there's so many things afoot, and we are going to suffer if we don't get it together here.
And their plan is to make sure that enough of these people can participate in the primaries, so that when Bernie gets a certain number, the few who have a few delegates here and there, they can equal to more than what he has as an individual, and then say, well, you know, look, sorry, Bernie, too bad. And again, I'm not looking at him as a savior. I'm saying as what David said, he was, what did he say, not the lesser of two evils, but the...
Yes, the evil of the lessers.
Yes, definitely. Yes. So that's what it looks like they're doing. But we just really have to reject the party as a whole. Like when they send you fundraising emails to people who have previously been on lists, just reply and just say, you know, don't ever email me again. You know, don't unsubscribe. Just keep telling them, I'm so disgusted with you, I'm done.
Well, we have to do something, but in the meantime, they have reason to trust that we won't do anything.
And then
we will complain, we will fuss,
so
but we will remain loyal to a party that long ago abandoned its base and continues to abandon its base. How is it possible, you have to ask a question, with all the stuff that Trump has done in the past 2 years, how is it possible that even though he's absent, he wins?
Correct. And he's bragging about it because he knows.
How is that possible?
For an idiot such as Donald Trump, even he was able to watch and come to the conclusion that, oh my God, this is going to be even easier than last time.
That is the conundrum of all conundrums. Thanks, Chris, for your call today. Gwen from New York.
Hi, Therese. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm live from lunch break in New York.
Yes, I can hear you quite well.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you that I am a little ashamed. I did not watch the debates last night, but I heard highlights this morning. And I really almost fell off my rocker when the two most important things that people pointed to were the most important things on the globe was China and terrorism. And when I heard three candidates talk about the need to go to war immediately, and I just couldn't believe it. And I thought, well, I guess we're going to try to go lower than the Republicans. They're going low, we're going lower. And I was very disappointed to hear that. And then I was also disappointed to hear some chap on Democracy Now! Being really hypercritical of Bernie Sanders, who, to me, has stood steadfast for 40 years in his beliefs. And the big criticism is that he can't go one-on-one with a person in his office that well. And I thought, well, who the hell cares? I mean, if this guy can speak to an audience of thousands, and if he can stand by his legislature, I don't really care if he's got a charming personality. I just want to know that he's going to do the right thing. So I feel that the left, I mean, I don't feel we're ever going to get anybody that we all agree and love. But there are people that are much closer to my ideas than Donald Trump. But right now, the one thing that I think Donald Trump has done that I am very happy about is that he did not bomb Iran the other night. And I can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe that I'm actually supporting something that nitwit did. But I think he's right not to go to war with Iran, and I hope the hell he doesn't do it. But it's very troubling to me to hear the corporate Democrats that are lining up.
Gwen,
say it again?
Let me tell you this. You know, that too is part of the psychology that of fear, that we are afraid.
Yeah.
Well, look, any number of things could cause massive damage, not just to the United States, but to many parts of the world. What Trump is doing is saying, look how much control I have, how much compassion I have. When I realized that bombing Iran would cost all these lives, I just couldn't do it. I am a man of conscience and all this garbage that he's trying to sell us. But it was effective, because with that way in which he turned around, or supposedly turned around, people were willing to give him some extra latitude. Say, well, you know, he's not irrational after all. He's not, you know, really crazy.
Oh, you know what, though? Can I just interject right there for 1 second? I want to make sure you know that I do think he's irrational. But I also want to say that what he did for most of the parties is irrational. We've never had a president that ever turned around and said 150 people are going to die. So I don't think he's a nice man, and I know that there's another reason for this happening. Please, I'm not stupid. I know there's another ulterior motive here.
That's what I'm trying to ask you. Right. What do you think is the reason that we know that he was about to get into the thick of it, and then at the last minute he changed his mind based on, you know, all these deaths that would be on his hands?
Right.
What do you think was behind that?
I think what's behind it is he has got huge control issues. And I believe that the faction of the CIA and the generals, actually, and John Bolton, are basically doing what they want to do. They're not even consulting with him. So I don't think he stopped it because of any humanitarian reason. I think he stopped it because he needs to be in charge of everything. And he was quite upset when he found out they're going to do what they want to do, they're going to leave information out, but they're going to go forward with this because they have an agenda. This war is going to be a lot of money for them. Israel really wants it to happen, a lot of people in Israel. So I think he would have been all down with it had they gone to him and discussed it with him. But it looks like he was held out of the loop, so he's just letting them know that, you know, if we're going to war, I'm the one who says we go to war. You're not going to be making these plans behind my back. I think that is probably the crux of the matter.
Well, here's really something very important to keep in mind. When all is said and done, with we constantly being preached at about the supreme power of the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. Here's the one thing that we need to remember and keep it in mind. In that part of the world, if one person survives, just one, we know exactly what that one person will do. It would cost them their lives, it would cost them everything they have. But they will automatically have as their personal mission to seek revenge. And when you see how the Muslim world is basically coming together, kind of getting over some of the historic divisions, what they're saying is, we have major enemies on our, we have major enemies to deal with. Our individual differences pale in comparison to the intention of this coming together of our enemies. We have to come together. So don't be fooled. It's going to be nasty, but they don't have the same fear of death as we do. Their intention is, if one person, two people, three people survive, they still know what they have to do. They have to fight. And they will fight. It is a great lesson that was learned all over the world. When people really believe in their cause, you could have whatever bombs you have. Not everybody will die. And those who survive automatically have a mandate. So you may think you bombed a country and then you move on. There's no moving on. You cannot escape what they see as a mission that they have to speak for the dead. So it is not a casual decision. Trump looked and probably somebody reminded him that he needs to correct himself quick, really quick, before he gets himself in a situation where the United States now begins its period of eternal war. And you can't win that.
It was interesting that he didn't say that he couldn't go to war with them because he just sold the Saudi Arabians billions of dollars worth of weapons, and he didn't want anybody to bring them back to our corner.
Well, you see, that's what he understands, and that's what the people who deal in war, that's what they understand. There's only so far as white supremacist thinking can go. You're dealing with people who have a history of remembering and committing themselves to the duty that they see they have. Every generation sees it that way. So, it's not that, okay, we're going to go over and drop some bombs. At some point, you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're starting something you cannot finish. Somebody else will finish it for you.
Right.
But,
well, are you going to watch tonight?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to watch the debates tonight?
Of course I will watch the debates, because I want to see how the contingent of expert journalists, how they treat the intended nominee, Joe Biden.
Yes, I know. The only one, I mean, it's unbelievable that he's getting so much raves, because he's been such a waste of time. So I'm again, I'm disappointed.
Once
my favorite meal from the Democrats is disappointment.
But, we ought to speak up, because the media last night was just absolutely atrocious. This whole concocted debate, which wasn't a debate. Somebody needs to take them to other countries and show them how people have debates. They need to go to debate class and figure out... Huh?
I was going to say, they could just come up to my debate. They could pull up my debate that I had with Melissa Mark-Viverito in East Harlem, and that would show them how to do a debate. As a matter of fact, the newspaper called our debate the East Harlem Rumble. But we got stuff out there. I got that stuff out there, and later out in Lavender, that was a debate.
You see, a debate has to do with the point and counterpoint. That wasn't happening.
I think also, though, the debates have to do with policies and your point of view on a policy. And I think it's very important to get those things out there, because that's the real differences with candidates. Where do you stand on a policy? I mean, I did get a little light last night when I heard three people saying that the most important thing to them was basically going to war. They were so ashamed that President Trump didn't attack Iran the other night that they want to go right to war. So I know I immediately write them off my list. I mean, but I'm ashamed to hear people that call themselves progressives speaking like that. It's such a crazy world right now. It's like every person who's supposed to be like left-leaning is turning into a warmonger. And then you hear Trump, you know, claiming he's not going to attack somebody. I mean, I guess you just got to keep moving with the changes, right? But there are a lot of changes going on.
You say, what is going on? What's in the air? What's in our water that's making us behave so bizarrely? Thank you so much, Gwen, for your call today. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, you three.
Hello.
How are you feeling today? Hello, how are you feeling today?
So did Trump win last night or not?
I honestly, one of your callers yesterday, I believe his name was Chris, he said something that in retrospect and looking at that debate last night, I found quite interesting. I don't think they want to win. I really don't think they want to win. I think they want to keep this man in office. I think they're satisfied with the status quo, and they'd rather use him as a foil for the next 4 years than actually present a cogent platform and a believable candidate. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I have to work tonight. I don't know if I'll get the opportunity to watch. But looking at that performance last night, I honestly believe that it's time to separate yourself from all of this. Democrat, Republican, the whole system is shot. And it's time to start to build locally and develop something that's going to ensure our personal survival into the next 50 years, 100 years. Because these people are not for real. They're not for real. There are serious problems in this world and in this country. And I don't think they're equipped. I don't think they have the testicular fortitude or the intellectual ability to deal with it anymore. I think the system has become so corrupt that they can't play outside of it. They can't think outside of it. And it's just becoming a pathetic joke. And these are serious times. And we got to separate from this. We got to separate from this nonsense and move forward. That's the only thing I can see.
But to separate from it, you have to have something in place. Do you see anything in place?
Well, not in a broad base. I mean, I've always been a local person. I always believe the same for all politics are local. And if you can start a movement within your local scope, within your district, within your neighborhood, if you can start to develop a community, then the consensus can come out of that, and then we can get back to politics of principle, not politics of personality, not politics of soundbite. We got to get back to politics of principle, not the person, but the platform, the idea, the principle. That's what's got to prevail. So personalities come and go, but principles stay solid, needs stay solid, and that's what's not happening. That nobody's concentrating on the need. They're concentrating on sound bites and BS. And we got to get away from that. Else, you know, there have been five extinction-level events in the history of this planet. You had the Mesozoic, the Jurassic, the dinosaurs. You had creatures that were the size of buildings. And for one reason or another, they died out. Mankind is not that old. Hasn't been on this planet for that long, 100,000 years tops. There's no reason that we have to exist. There's no reason that we have to continue until we take a good look at who we are and what we need to do.
In the so-called debate last night, which we know wasn't a debate at all, but what resonated with you, whether in a good way or a bad way?
Well, just the fact that they weren't addressing any pertinent issues. That's what I mean. First of all, I never even saw how that could be a debate. It was too many people. No one had no one person or group of people had the chance to dive into an issue and really take it apart like a debate is supposed to be—a point, a counterpoint, a resolution, a rebuttal. You had no time for that. It was just a showcase of, hey, this is what the Democratic Party's got. We're gonna throw it up against the wall and see what sticks. That's what resonated with me. The lack of preparedness. And it's hard to believe that people that have been in politics for this long are not prepared, especially when you've got such an adversary that they seem to make this man Trump out to be. And like your caller said yesterday, Chris, I think they want him to win because he's a good excuse to do nothing, or they don't have the ability to do nothing other than throw mud at this guy.
Well, that's a scary thought. But
it's real.
It's scary, but it might be very real. What did you think about the pool of journalists?
Journalism is dead in this country. There's no hard-hitting actual people that do journalism. They're part of the system. There's no hard-hitting questions. Nobody was really digging or trying to find an answer. I mean, the powers that be have so successfully dumbed down this society. It's to the point to where what passes for journalism, what passes for excellence, is poor. It's poor, to say the least. And I do believe it's a fact that the society would plan to be dumbed down. So they can pull off whatever they want to pull off, and nobody really can cut to the real issue anymore. Nobody knows how to have a cognitive discussion or productive debate. They just know how to sow mud.
Well, thank you, Ed, for your call. Well, we got,
thank you,
I think, a clear message about the role of media. NBC reigned supreme. It controlled all aspects of what was disseminated to the public as news. It clearly had choreographed this whole thing. This was not a debate, we all agree. This wasn't even show and tell, because the candidates on the stage didn't have the latitude to really explain their positions on things. And that was planned. That was planned. Everybody agrees that 10 candidates at a time, you can't get very much productivity out of that. The questions clearly were choreographed, because this is the time that NBC is making a case for itself, as all other media outlets will be, for advertising. And they will not make money if they are seen as promoting something hostile to the entity that is funding them. So they're gone for the ride. So just about every journalist who asked those silly questions ought to be written off. Don't trust them anymore. They clearly demonstrated that they could be bought. There was no independent journalism going on there. As for the candidates, we got hints of who might, in another venue, who might be interesting, or who might be interesting if they continue their careers. But on the whole, it was an absolute sham. It was a sham. But I am happy to have us analyze what we saw, because people don't do that. And so this gives us the opportunity to observe how institutions are co-opted, how they are used to in turn create defects in us, that we lose our minds and we go with what they say, even though it's clear they don't even know the meaning of the word debate. And they're not even expecting to be challenged on the fact that there was no debate. The winner, I repeat, from last night, the winner was Donald J. Trump. End of story. Thanks for joining me today. And let's continue this tomorrow, because we still have tonight. We have to torture ourselves a little bit more and watch this so-called debate tonight. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.